My name is Nick Georges. I was protesting for Palestine. There were a group of about seven of us were protesting for Palestine on a bridge over the M25. We were hanging banners down. We were standing there with a few flags, and a group of about seven right-wing Tommy Robinson thugs approached us, came running up to us, and the leader grabbed the flag off my friend, my 64-year-old friend who was standing next to me, ripped it out of his hands, snapped the flag in two, ripped the flag off. I went over to ask him to stop doing that, to give us our flag back. And the next thing I remember was spinning across the tarmac, vaguely thinking, oh, perhaps he might have hit me. Now, this happened about 2 weeks ago on a bridge at Egham over the M25. And anyway, so I was spinning, I came to, I think he must have knocked me unconscious when he hit me. Well, I came to spinning across the tarmac and thinking, oh, maybe he hit me. And anyway, I hit the ground and fractured my skull. So he'd actually, what happened, he'd actually hit me on the side of the head so hard he obviously made me unconscious, because I don't remember being hit at all or landing on the ground. And he then went on to attack two other members of our group. I was the worst injured. I was unconscious on the ground. Eventually an ambulance came, took me away. I was in NE for a night, and the next day they transferred me to a ear hospital because he damaged my ear as well. So for 2 or 3 days afterwards, I thought I was okay, but then it was like I hit a brick wall, and psychologically, I just went into deep fall. There were about seven of them all together in this attack, and the leader was absolutely, like, he was so aggressive. He came running up. He was shouting, "Get that fucking flag out of my fucking face, not in this fucking country." And they're just so aggressive. And we've never seen him in our lives. And what we've noticed has been happening over the last month or so is an incredible rise. Every time we're trying to protest, there's a massive increase in the aggression and the violence against us. Absolutely incredible. Normally it's Zionists that are aggressive and violent against us, but this is not violence. This is your average white man in his van, your builder, whoever it is. It's your angry white man. And my take on it is Tommy Robinson, who's paid, funded, and totally supported by Israel. I mean, your average white man in the van, yes, they hate immigrants, they hate the boat people, but they haven't got a clue about Palestine. They're not interested in Palestine. They've never been there. They've got no interest at all. So my take on it is that Israel has used Tommy Robinson, it's used his reach amongst all the far right, and he's totally indoctrinated and propagandized all the far right to hate Palestine. This is all part of Israel's protesting and trying to crush us for protesting for Palestine. A couple of my friends the other day, they were attacked by a far-right group again when they were protesting, had their phones ripped out of their hands and hurled to the ground. And, we've seen people leaning out of cars, put the windows down, they're half out of their cars, giving us the finger and shouting the most aggressive and violent abuse at us. And we've not seen it to this extent. The last month, there's been like an explosion in this Tommy Robinson far-right fascist groups against all Palestine protectors, and it is quite alarming and very frightening. The police got involved. As far as I'm aware, the police are pursuing the case. We've made witness statements, and what will come of it, who knows? But in my book, there's no way that people should be able to get away with hitting a 73-year-old OAP in the side of the head so hard it knocks into the ground and he fractures his skull. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. And, I sincerely hope we can take this person to court and give them a message that they can't get away with this sort of behaviour. Anyway, so moving on from that point, rapidly moving on, as I say, So what do I make of this so-called Trump ceasefire? Well, I think as most people are aware, or most people have any idea what's going on, are aware, is the ceasefire is a complete sham. I think in the last few weeks since the ceasefire was stated, Israel has actually murdered more Palestinians than in the few weeks preceding the ceasefire. So Israel is still full bore breaking the ceasefire. There have been 145 direct reports of Israel breaking the ceasefire that are actually recorded. And so, yes, there is no ceasefire. It's a complete farce, and it's aimed to take people's eyes off the ball. And I think it's very important that we realise there is no ceasefire, and we've all got to carry on pushing, resisting and supporting Palestine and getting the truth out there about what's happening as hard as we possibly can. Netanyahu and Israel have no intention of stopping ethnically cleansing and genociding the Palestinians, and we have to keep fighting that. Right, talking about the ban on Palestine action, and on the face of it, yes, the ban does seem to have been quite successful. There is less direct action going on now than before. But what I think the government and Israel don't realise is that the more you try and suppress people and squash people and crush legitimate and peaceful protest, the more you'll just squidge it out. It's like if you get a bowl of jelly or put jelly on the plate and you hit it with a hammer, the jelly will just fly out everywhere. And this is what's going to happen. They will not stop people from protesting against what Israel's doing. People's human nature, their love of justice, their belief in justice. People will not stop protesting for Palestine. And so, personally, I think it's just going to backfire on them, apart from all the other ways. And there will still be more direct action. There will still be people protesting and fighting very hard against Palestine. Maybe in different ways, I don't know. But you cannot stop. Half the world now is more than aware of what Israel is doing. There's a massive worldwide movement. You look at the strikes in Italy. You look at all the countries worldwide that are BDS, doing BDS, sending frigates to support the flotilla, stopping coal going to us. There is so much BDS action against Israel now that's coming from all over the world. But as time grows, I don't think Israel stands a chance, to be honest. It may be 2 or 3 years, but I think Israel myself is doomed. And I certainly hope it's doomed, because the way it's behaved and what it's doing in Palestine is absolutely... Well, I'm afraid words fail me. I mean, to genocide an innocent population of people the way they're doing, to treat them that way, is total crime against humanity. As United Nations and everyone else has said, the International Court, Criminal Court of Justice, humanitarian law, everyone now can see what Israel is doing, how wrong it is, and Israel is so fast losing any support it might ever have had. It's now getting absolutely desperate. Apparently it's bought out TikTok, Twitter, X. It's bought out every single platform it can buy, because it knows very well that it's losing the propaganda war. So I suspect very soon we're all going to be absolutely inundated with every media content that they can access with pro-Israel news. And we've just got to obviously realise it is all lies and propaganda, and just keep resisting for Palestine. Because of Defend Our Juries and all the actions they've taken to change the prescription of Palestine action, I think they've been incredibly effective. In all my 73 years, I've never seen such an effective fight back by the people against a corrupt government. It's the largest act of resistance that I've ever seen the people of this country get together to do against the evil of the corrupt British government that we've got. I say British government that is completely run and controlled by Israel via the Jewish Board of Deputies, Zibi Hotevli, the Israeli ambassador, the fact that 95% of members, MPs in Labour, are Labour friends of Israel, the fact that 85% of Conservative MPs are Conservative friends of Israel. 3 years ago now, I think it was Priti Patel, I can never remember which one it was forced into setting up this organisation called Combat Anti-Semitism. So she set this organisation up. At the head of it, there were three figures. There was herself, there was Mark Rowley, British Chief of Police, and Mossad. Yes, she invited Mossad into this organisation. That was 3 years ago. Mossad now is completely in control of the British police. And when you see how the British police are behaving, how they're crushing all protest, how anyone who reports on the truth, who has access to the truth from Palestine, any reporter who reports on the truth is crushed by the police. They've all, without exception, had their doors smashed down. They've had all their tech stolen, and they're all facing court cases. This is reporters, journalists, who are merely telling the truth about what's happening in Palestine. And all this is led by Mossad within the British police and obviously headed up by the British government. As regards the possibility of it being deprescribed, Huda Moore is leading this incredibly brave case against the government to deprescribe Palestine action. We've had some very good successes so far. The government tried to stop her appeal. Huda counter-appealed, and she won that appeal with even more grounds to get Palestine action deprescribed. Myself, I'm not very optimistic about it, because Palestine action was prescribed at the behest of Israel, the Jewish Board of Deputies, Labour Friends of Israel, Conservative Friends of Israel, Zippy Hotevli, the Israeli ambassador. Yvette Cooper had lots of talks 2 weeks prior to prescribing Palestine action with Elbit Systems, the Israeli weapons manufacturer that makes 85% of Israel weapons. She was in talk with Allianz Insurance Company, who insure and fund Elbit Systems and make it possible for them to operate legally in this country. Lord Walney, who's an out-and-out Zionist and who has lots of money tied up in weapons and arms companies, he's on lots of boards of directorship with arms companies. And so all these influences were brought to bear on Yvette Cooper and the British government to prescribe Palestine action. So I don't think the British government is going to allow the deprescription. British government will lie, they will cheat, they will fudge, they have highly motivated lawyers. They will use every trick in the book they've got and all the power that they've got to make sure that this appeal to get Palestine action deprescribed does not succeed. It's not going to be as though it's a straight legal battle. It's not going to be a matter of justice or the correct legal aspects of it in any shape or form. Unfortunately, if it was a legal battle, a straight, honest and just legal battle, then I'm pretty convinced that the government does not have a leg to stand on, legally speaking, about the prescription of Palestine action. But unfortunately, I fear it won't be a fair and just legal fight. Sorry to say about that. Moving on to Tony Blair. Tony Blair is hated throughout the Middle East. He's recognised as being one of the main leaders of the Iraq War, where over a million Iraqis were murdered on a complete false premise and lie of weapons of mass destruction, which was complete lies. Tony Blair knew that very well. He knew. All his weapons advisors told him, some of whom are no longer alive, told him very clearly that Iraq had no mass weapons of destruction, and yet he still forced ahead this war. This war was forced, basically, by Israel. So all the Arab states know what Tony Blair's like. Tony Blair, unbelievably, once he was left being Prime Minister of England, was put in charge of Middle East envoy of peace to the Middle East. I mean, he never managed to achieve any peace when he was Prime Minister. So what on earth he thought he was going to achieve by being leader of that Middle East envoy of peace, I have no conception. As far as I can see, the only thing he achieved was he managed to get a sewage plant put in Gaza. And that, I think, was his only achievement. Apart from that, he completely failed in any shape or form to bring peace to the Middle East. Tony Blair's main interest is in money and power. And to put someone like Tony Blair in charge of Gaza is totally dystopian. There's only one group of people who should be in charge of deciding the future of Gaza, and that is the Palestinians. It's the Palestinians' own land. They're the native inhabitants of that land. They're the indigenous population. And they are the only people who have any right to decide what happens to Gaza or anywhere in Palestine, be it the West Bank or Gaza, wherever it is. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say about Tony Blair. He's one of the most evil men in the world, Tony Blair is, and I've got absolutely no time for him. Trump, again, is very proud of all the weapons he's poured into Israel, all the bombs he's poured into Israel. I heard him saying the other day what a brilliant job Israel are doing with all the weapons and the bombs that he's supplied them, how well they're doing with it all, and how beautifully they're using them. I love to think, like in fairy tales, you always think that in the background somewhere, there's a knight on a white charger who's suddenly going to come to the rescue of justice and those who are suffering. But I'm afraid, in the case of Palestine, there is no white knight in shining armour waiting in the wings to rush into the rescue of Palestine. There is nobody who can stop what is going on. Israel and America are so totally intertwined that neither of them are going to stop it. And I don't know what the future of Palestine holds. Yes, I admit it's a gloomy outlook. It's been going on since 1948, and no one has been able to do anything about it to stop it. But the problem is, obviously, Israel has so much power. America has so much power. Israel has the impunity to do what it wants, and it can show that. It can show the complete impunity it has to do what it wants in the world. No one can do anything about it. So all we can do is just all the good people of the world, the people who believe in justice and freedom. We've just got to keep resisting, keep fighting back, keep doing BDS, keep protesting, and keep resisting with all our strength and all our might. But as always, if you fight for something you believe in and you resist, there is going to be a price to pay. And I think we have to learn that. If we're peaceful and quiet and we're just like to our MPs and go on peaceful marches, all of these very important things to do, I think we have to realise that we're never going to stop this genocide. We've got to be braver. We've got to be stronger. We've got to make a noise. We've got to put people's noses out of joint. We've got to cause trouble. Because if we don't, no one's going to pay any attention to us. No one's paid any attention since 1948. We have to change. We've got to get braver and stronger. If we really believe in the Palestinian cause and justice, we have to be stronger. And what is very important is most people don't want to know. And they don't want to know because they cannot see the horror of what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. This is just a trial run for Israel. We're going to be next. All that horror, all their learning, all the torture camps they've got in the prisons in the Negev, the weapons they're developing, the mass control, the AI weapons they're using, will all be coming to us sooner or later. And people can't see that. And when they do, it'll be too late. I will say goodbye to you all and just ask you to do everything you can to fight stronger and resist and support the Palestinians in their very just cause. Thank you.